You all right, buddy?
My headphones, I think, are officially done.
Oh.
They're making these scratchy noises, and the audio keeps going from one ear to the other, just one at a time.
Are you going to be okay? Or?
I can hear you fine. Our fighter, maybe not.
Hopefully we can we'll hear Russell. We'll get to Russell in a moment. But what are we fighting over now?
We've got some Cardinals tickets. Friday, August 9th, the Cardinals host the Pirates. They'll be back in town that night. 30,000 fans, 16 and older, will take home a Cardinals tank top to add to their wardrobe. It's courtesy of Cooper Tires and Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers. You can get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions.
Beautiful. And we've got Russell coming back today after getting a win yesterday. He wasn't really, he wasn't confident in his win, but he ended up getting it done against Randy.
A win's a win, man.
That's right. Russell, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing fine. You don't sound as excited as you should be, though.
It's a little more nerve-wracking today. We're getting closer to a Hall of Fame bid.
Should be more like Steve Ballmer. I want a little more excitement out of you, Russell. Before we get going, give me some excitement.
All right. We are the Stanley Cup champions forever.
Okay.
Woo!
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Hockey.
We love hockey. This is, by the way, Russell, did you know that 101 ESPN is now the home of your St. Louis Blues, your Stanley Cup champion?
Right. Yes, I did.
Good. Good. Tell your friends. Are you ready for the fight?
Ready.
Question number one. Bo Hart, who we just talked to a moment ago, tied for the record of 28 hits in his first 15 major league games. Which rookie fell one hit shy of that mark in 2013? Was it Yasiel Puig, Nolan Arenado, or Derek Dietrich?
I'll go Nolan Arenado.
Question number two, Russell. Trey Turner hit his second career cycle last night. Which player hit two cycles last season? Was it Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, or Christian Yelich?
I'll go Mookie Betts.
Question number three. On this date in 2004, Bronson Arroyo plunked a Yankee hitter at the plate. Jason Veritek confronted the batter, which forced a benches clearing brawl. A fairly famous moment. Who was the Yankee batter? Was it A-Rod, Jorge Posada, or Gary Sheffield?
A-Rod.
And question number four, Russell. Barry Bonds won 7 MVP awards in his career. How many did he win with the Pirates? Was it 2, 3, or 4?
I'll go 2.
All right, let's bring in Randy. Russell, how do you feel?
Not as good as yesterday.
No. So you're not nearly as excited as Steve Ballmer is today?
No.
Did you, I don't know if you saw that press conference of him introducing Paul George and Kawhi. It's awesome.
There's no way that's natural, right?
Yes.
There's no way.
His face is red. He's really putting his back into it.
Nobody has that much energy. There's no way.
He was downstairs in the basement drinking coffee for about the last 4 hours, and then he came up and did that. Randy, say hello to Russell.
Hey, Russell, how you doing?
Pretty good, Randy. How you doing today?
Doing good, thanks.
Russell's excited to be here.
All right.
Are you?
I'm excited.
Good. Here we go. Question number one.
Yes.
Bo Hart tied for the record of 28 hits in his first 15 major league games. What rookie fell one hit shy of that mark in 2013?
Seriously? This is a question?
Yeah.
It is a question.
Okay. Pretty stupid one. I'll take the lifeline.
Is it Yasiel Puig, Nolan Arenado, or Derek Dietrich?
I'll go Puig.
I don't think it's that bad of a question.
Who knows that?
I don't know. You did, because you just got it right.
It was a guess.
It's in. It was a story in STL Today when it happened. 2013, June 21st.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Then I should have remembered.
It's a
I apologize.
Sport,
sport, Randy.
It's a sport.
At least we didn't do something about theater.
It's like, okay, you can tell. I'll ask you a question. What player is second for most hits in their first 50 games?
I have no idea. There that's how go. I would have answered it. But you have a lifeline. You could use a lifeline.
I just don't think that's a typical question that you would hear at a trivia night or something like that.
Well, you got it right.
Well, it happened. Question number two. Trey Turner hit for his second career cycle last night.
Wow.
Which player hit two cycles last season, or hit four two cycles last season?
Christian Yelich.
Question number three. On this date in 2004, Bronson Arroyo hit a Yankee batter at the plate. Jason Varitek confronted the hitter. There was a famous benches clearing brawl, if you remember. Who was the Yankee hitter in that moment?
In 2004?
Yep.
Seems like an A-Rod move. We'll go with A-Rod.
And question number four. Barry Bonds. He won seven MVP awards in his career. How many did he win with the Pirates?
I think he won two with Pittsburgh. I'll go with two.
We have a winner. Russell, I'm sorry, but today it has come to an end for you. Randy got all four. You got two of them right. It was Yasiel Puig with the 27 hits in his first 15 MLB games, which is just short of the record. Christian Yelich did hit both against the Reds, two career cycles he has against Cincinnati. It was A-Rod, in fact, who got plunked.
Total A-Rod move.
Yeah, it surely was. And the answer is two MVP awards. Let's see. Barry Bonds won seven MVP awards in his career. He won two of those with the Pirates. So, Russell, we thank you for playing once again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Russell, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us here on 101 ESPN.
Hey, we should also mention we were talking about Junior Fernandez. I think we said he was still in Double A.
Yeah. Did he get called up?
Yeah, he's pitched in nine games. And his numbers are really good. His whip is .75. He's got opponents are hitting .149 against him. That's in 13 and a third innings. So I know Joe Schwarz brought him up yesterday as a possibility. So maybe eventually the road leads to him for the closer position, or at least somebody to help out in the bullpen.
A couple of notes for you. Tomorrow, Ballpark Village, 3 o'clock press conference. The Cardinals and USA Soccer are holding a press conference. Fans are invited. Soccer fans from the St. Louis area can show your support for soccer again. Ballpark Village tomorrow, 3 o'clock press conference. Also, the Ambush announced today that they're going to hold open tryouts this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Veta Sports St. Charles, located at in St. Peter's in Cottleville. Tryouts are open to any player 18 years or older, and you can learn more at the Ambush website, but Ambush having open tryouts for soccer, so that's another fun thing to know about. And as you know, the Cardinals are going to honor the 2004 National League champions this weekend at the ballpark. Still tickets available for that series against Houston.
And that's a team I think you want to go see, isn't it?
No doubt, yeah. Yeah, they're great, and they're a former rival.
Yeah, and they never come to town anymore, so you got an opportunity to go see them. I guess I would. You can see Verlander pitch. Will he be in the series?
I do not know.
Well, if he lines up, I got to go look.
It's 4:11. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Coming up, Matt Carpenter returned to the field for his rehab assignment in Memphis last night. How do the Cardinals handle him when he returns within the week? That's next on 101 ESPN. Matt Carpenter 0-for-2 with a walk, a strikeout, and a run scored in his first rehab game with Memphis. And he'll have a couple of more games tonight and tomorrow before rejoining the Cardinals on Friday against the Astros here in St. Louis. Derek Gould saying since taking over for Carpenter at leadoff, Tommy Edman is hitting .273 with a .314 on base and a .424 slug, for an OPS of .739. Carpenter has an OPS of .735, .234, .318, and .416. So there's not a very dramatic difference between Carpenter's season numbers and Edmund's numbers in the leadoff spot. I hope that Matt Carpenter finds his way. He is a known quantity, but the problem is we don't know what he is now. Let me put it this way. He has been a known quantity in the past, but I have no idea what he's going to deliver.
Which is why they're going to give him an opportunity. The question is, how much of one do they give him? It's not going to really start to get interesting until Marcell Ozuna is back. Because when Carpenter is ready to go, which should be soon here, the the thought process is Tommy Edman is just out of a job. It's just going to be a straight up trade, him for Edman, which makes a lot of sense. Now, what will get to be an interesting thing is, what are you doing? Ozuna is ready to go, and you've got Tyler O'Neill, who's been contributing. Then you've got some decisions to make, and I don't really know exactly what direction they're going to go here, other than giving Matt Carpenter ample opportunity to prove himself again. That's just, that's how baseball works. When you're a veteran and you have a track record
and a contract,
you are going to get an opportunity. So now they've got to find a way to balance that with also trying to win ball games, because you can't allow him to go so long that he's not helping you, because I mean, that's what he's there for. He's there for offensive production. He's not a defensive player. He's not especially good at third. He can get to a lot, but he doesn't have any – his arm power is just not there. He's still making those lob throws to first. So – he's not really a plus for you defensively in that position. That means he's got to produce offensively. And if he doesn't do it, you can't allow that to continue for too long.
And if you're the Cardinals, this is beyond peripheral numbers. These are concrete numbers with the Statcast, with the hard hit balls and the exit velocity. And those are way down. Mike Petriello, who writes for Statcast and is the host of the Statcast podcast, he said, I don't see an awful lot in Matt Carpenter's season to make me believe that he's going to be able to turn it around. If he doesn't come back and deliver the sort of Statcast numbers that he delivered last year, he's down by 2 miles an hour on his exit velocity on average. And his hard hit percentage is, has gone down like 15 or 18%. If he doesn't get back to that in the next week or two, then I think you have to say, okay, it's just not going to happen this year.
In the end, the results are all that really, truly matter. But the reason the Statcast numbers and the peripheral numbers that we're talking about, you know, the batting average, balls in play, all that stuff, the reason that matters is over the next 2+ months, it can give you an idea if what you're seeing is going to continue, or if you're just getting what you're getting. Right? One way or the other, good or bad. We said the same thing about Carpenter at the beginning of last season when he was struggling for a couple of months, but the Statcast numbers indicated he's hitting the ball really hard. So eventually those results are going to come. And guess what? The results started to come. And you saw how good of a month he had in August. Was it August or July or maybe a combination of both before he had a rough September? But he was indicating to us with the way he was making contact that he's ultimately going to be okay.
Right.
And he was okay. You're not getting the same sort of peripheral, I'm going to be okay numbers right now. That's the problem. It's not to say he's not going to start giving results. It just, there hasn't yet been an indication that Matt Carpenter is on his way back.
No.
He's going to come back to the lineup and he's going to get opportunity. But I don't have a ton of confidence that he's going to start producing regularly like he usually does.
Now, we'll admit that Tommy Edman has a small sample size here. But this year, after having an 89.6 average exit velocity last year, Carpenter is at 87.6. Last year, his hard hit percentage was 44.7. This year, it's 34.3.
That's a pretty big drop.
Yeah, 44 to 34%. So you have that, and then you have Tommy Edman. Granted, small sample size, but his average exit velocity is 88, and his hard hit percentage is 36.1.
Right, so you're not getting a ton different than what Carpenter is.
It's a little better.
It's slightly, yeah. It's not dramatic. And that's the thing. This offense, the way it was intended to produce, he's got to be a major factor in it.
Your leadoff hitter has.
It's supposed to be Paul Goldschmidt, Marcell Ozuna, and Carpenter being the bulk of your offense. And I don't feel confident about the team if at least two of those three guys aren't doing that regularly. I think on a nightly basis, you need to have two of those three being on. Right?
Yep.
You're not going to be able to get away with one of those three being good for a while, and then he drops off, and then a different one of those three starts to produce. I mean, you need at least two of those three, because those are your big boys in your lineup. You got to have them give you big boy production, or you're going to be in trouble.
Now, until Marp is back, Edman will be at third. When he comes back, Carpenter. Edmund is capable of playing the outfield. Jairo Munoz is capable of playing the outfield. You mentioned Tyler O'Neill. Do you think I don't know what they'll do with Harrison Bader. Because I think that O'Neill has earned a shot to play in the outfield ahead of Bader.
Of those two, the only thing Bader is really doing for you better is he can play the field better.
Yeah.
That's not a question. O'Neill still has struggles. I mean, you could still see sometimes off the bat he doesn't exactly get a great jump or know where it's going right away. He can recover because he still has a little bit of speed, but Bader is smoother at the position. But that's not the thing the Cardinals really need right now. What they really need is some offense.
And you can get serviceable center field play out of Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, he's fine.
And play O'Neill in right if you wanted to do it that way. But do you send Harrison Bader down to Memphis with the knowledge that I guess you'd move a Rosarena to a corner and have Bader play center field down there because you want to get him straightened out too.
Right. I guess you can do that. I don't think you want to move Bader's position. I think he needs to continue to play center. I think so.
But are you agreeing with my assessment here that on Friday, the guy that goes could be Harrison Bader?
Over Edmund?
Yes. That goes back to Memphis?
Yeah, because Edmund might be able to play multiple positions. See, now, if it's my call, I'm doing that. My guess is they won't. But I don't know. They might ultimately make that decision, and it wouldn't be a bad decision to make because you have some flexibility then. Bader's not going to give you a ton of it.
Right, and he's the guy that is going to sit for most of the time, and especially when Ozuna comes back. But if you want to play Munoz and or Edmund, they're playing in the outfield because Carpenter's playing third.
Right.
You're going to have Fowler playing, you're going to have Martinez playing, and you're going to have O'Neill playing.
I'm sorry to cut you off. The other end of it is I'm more comfortable with Tommy Edman riding the bench than Harrison Bader.
Me
because
too.
I still feel like Bader's got a future, or at least there's hope for him to have a real future as an everyday player. In order for that to happen, getting an at-bat every couple of days is not going to do it. He needs to be playing every day.
Agreed. And Edman, you can bring him in as a quality defensive replacement at multiple positions.
Right.
And that's another thing the Cardinals like about him. We haven't seen him at shortstop yet, but he can play short if necessary. He can play second. He can play in the outfield, both corners. So he's a better guy to have on your bench than Harrison Bader.
Now, I think now that we're really ironing this out, it does make more sense for them to be the decision they make. Now, what is your opinion of what you think they're going to do?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that because they need to get Bader straightened out. And they've done it before. They did it with Randall Grichuk. They did it with Colton Wong. They've sent guys that had the job that really struggled down to the minors to get straightened out and get them together with Papa G, George Greer down there, and see if you can get his offense straightened out.
Well, they've already, at least from what we're hearing, they have thrown that idea out there, right? I mean, this isn't something that's just dawning on them. Like, they know it's a possibility. I think you're right. Go do it now. If you're going to do it, this is a perfect time. As soon as Carpenter's back and ready to go, this is a perfect time to make that happen.
Cardinals in Pittsburgh tonight, and Bader is once again not in the lineup, but Edmund is. He's at third base and leading off tonight in the 6:05 game. Coming up, we want your questions now. Get them into the Hot Shots text line at 65780. The Sports Six Pack is coming your way on 101 ESPN. We do appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. And with your questions for us, here is Big Sizz.
What do you guys think the future holds for Alex Reyes with the Cardinals?
I think there's a chance that he could be a relief pitcher for the rest of the season, but I don't have much confidence in him having a long and illustrious career with the Cardinals anymore.
I don't know what his career is going to be at all. Like, I have no confidence in it any longer. Also, real quick, I needed help, like, really bad just now. So I'm in the office, and you know, like, we've got those, it's a shelf, and then they lift up.
Yeah.
And you can
overhead
store things.
In your desk.
I did it, and one side collapsed, so all those bobbleheads started, like, shifting down and falling off and breaking, and I needed help. Because I couldn't fix it. And so I had one arm, and I'm like, I can't leave because all of these things, if I put it down, all of the bobbleheads are going to come crashing down. So we may go into the office, and all of our bobbleheads are dead.
All that matters is that you're okay.
I'm safe, though.
You're fine.
Thank goodness.
I'm okay. I was trying to save all the artifacts, but they might be dead.
Gosh, that would have been
anyway,
awful.
Alex Reyes is probably going to be broken like the bobbleheads.
Interesting one here to the Hot Shot text line, 65780. Is it possible to be too handsome?
No. It is not.
What happens when you're too handsome?
There you go. Nothing.
You're just incredibly handsome. I guess the only... If you're too handsome and it makes other people mad because you're so good looking, then maybe that's too handsome.
That's a real thing. Like, your buddies get mad. Like, you go out to a bar. Like, gosh, this guy again.
Yes.
It happens to me all the time.
65780, if there is somebody that is too handsome, who is it? Who is too handsome? There was a conversation on the Levitard show the other day about, they had Mike Lowell on the air, and they were talking about who was more handsome.
Yeah.
Mike Lowell or Mike Mussina, and with Mike Lowell waiting to come on the air with them, Mina Kimes said, "Oh, Mike Mussina."
Without hesitating?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I think Lowell is a handsome man, though.
Brad Pitt is really handsome.
Yeah,
still.
Is. Yeah. So
George Clooney's aging nicely.
George Clooney. See, he might be the most handsome guy out there, but I don't think he's too handsome.
So I Googled most handsome people.
Okay.
And who do you think is at the top of the list for men in 2019?
I go George Clooney.
Tom Cruise.
Tom freaking Cruise.
No way.
Yeah. That's just weird.
Number two, let's see here. Chris Evans on the list.
You ever seen the photos of Tom Cruise where they will draw a line down the center of his face?
Yeah.
And he's got a tooth, like one of his two big front teeth is directly in line with the rest of his...
right in the middle
of his teeth are off center.
Yeah.
Huh.
But he's still good looking.
Okay, so you've got Prince William up there, Brad Pitt, somebody named Noah Mills. Who else you got?
Justin Trudeau. Chris Evans is a good-looking dude.
By the way, it's good to see that Prince William, who is virtually bald. A lot of money and being a prince makes you handsome, doesn't it?
That's outrageous. Prince William is not good. That dude is not good looking. If an average woman saw him hanging out at the bar, she's not going up to him.
Got a couple texts for Bradley Cooper,
Matthew McConaughey,
Rob Lowe. This texter says, "I'm too handsome. It's a curse. The women are too intimidated to talk to me."
I don't believe that. Just don't believe
it. It's a curse. And so we'll have to do a most handsome man in sports. Somebody suggested Brad Thompson. Henrik Lundqvist is a good call.
Owen Wilson? What?
Oh, Zac Efron's good looking. He's pretty handsome. Women love Zac Efron.
Yep.
Do you guys find it concerning that pretty much all of the Cardinals' minor league system, all their minor league teams are below 500?
No, not
really.
At all.
I'm worried about individual talent that's going to work its way here. And you can make the argument they're not nearly as deep as they once were, but
yes,
you know,
Memphis won back-to-back championships. What do you really have to show for it?
I don't care what the records are.
No,
it doesn't matter.
No, not for minor league teams.
No, nope.
I know there are organizations that like to win and will load up their AAA team with 6-year minor league free agents,
the 4A guys.
Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, I'm with you. I'm more interested in having. And you mentioned during the break, Junior Fernandez has been called up to Memphis now. And I like the idea of having young players that are ascending. And if you don't have enough, you aren't going to win.
Going back to this handsome people thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody from the 314 wants to remind you guys, this is indeed a sports show.
Oh, sorry then.
Talk
so Tom Brady. Tom Brady's handsome.
And I think we may have a winner. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo is a good looking dude.
Jimmy Garoppolo is handsome.
Yeah. Anybody else in sports better looking?
I'd have to think about it. Harry Kane.
Yeah, he's all right.
How about Ronaldo?
Ronaldo's a good-looking dude. Yeah.
We heard the great audio from Steve Ballmer when he was introducing his new team today, new players. Get off. What would it take? Who would it take for the Cardinals to sign for you to sound just like that?
Oh.
That's a great one.
Well, it would have been last offseason and Manny Machado. I would have done that for Manny.
See, I would do it for Mike Trout.
Yeah, if Trout hadn't re-signed or signed that extension.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Trout's the number one for sure.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, they're lucky they didn't get him. Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I'd be pretty pumped about Bellinger.
How about Justin Verlander? Handsome guy.
Arenado's a good one.
Yeah.
Wait, Justin Verlander. Oh. How about Max Scherzer?
There you go. I'm pumped.
I'd be pumped for Scherzer.
Scherzer might be the pitcher that, because he's from here, that I would be most pumped for.
I would, too.
He's got great eyes, too. Well, speaking of handsome.
They're different.
Yeah, one's like brown and one's like green, right?
Yeah, they're different. David Beckham and Julian Edelman. Good-looking dudes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of girls say Matheny, which is true. They used to say Matheny a lot.
Mike is a handsome man.
Yeah, he's handsome.
Very handsome.
This texter has a life question here. At birthday parties, when you go to a birthday party, most of the time they provide food, drinks, or whatever. If it's a child's birthday party, do the parents provide food and booze for the adults?
No.
Should they?
No.
No, I guess not.
No. If you want to, fine, but I wouldn't. It's a kid's birthday party. We're celebrating a kid's birthday.
What if
the kids eat?
I don't know. What if you need something to get through it?
Bring
you
your
know?
Own.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, I brought a bottle of this Malort. If the kids get out of hand, we're going to just pour this down their gullet.
Shots for everybody.
The old sketch with Will Ferrell, and he's yelling at Brandon to get off the shed. There's another one of those where Brandon's playing a Little League game, and he's sitting in the crowd. And at one point he says, somebody says, do you want a snow cone? He's like, I brought my own snow cone right here. And he gets down in the cooler and starts drinking beer. So yeah, get your own snow cone. Bring your own cooler of snow cones.
I think there's always time for beer.
There you go. Holly, you had a few.
Yeah, so did Ed.
Don't know him.
Hot take time, guys. I want your hot take on one move that will happen before or at the deadline. Could be Cardinals, could be non-Cardinals.
That's a good one. I will say, hot take. I'll say that, trying to think of teams. Here's my hot take, that Madison Bumgarner does not get moved.
I don't even know if it's that hot anymore. Because I think there's a really good chance what happens.
But they will trade at least two relievers.
Okay. A hot take would be Trevor Bauer's getting traded anyway.
To the Yankees.
Even though Cleveland's in this race, three games out of the top spot in the Central, and they are a wild card team. If the Indians just say, yeah, screw it, we need to build for the future, which they could, I could see them doing it, but it would be really dumb.
Thank you, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Next up, we're going to head to Pittsburgh and catch up with BT. He is next from PNC Park on 101 ESPN. Our friend and partner Brad Thompson is at PNC Park in Pittsburgh, where the Cardinals take on the Pirates in the third game of a four-game series tonight. BT, how's everything in Pittsburgh today?
It is going great, man. Life is good when you rattle off a couple of wins and have a chance to go for that series win this evening. The games have been entertaining. Life is good. Weather's fine. I mean, it's beautiful here right now. How you boys doing?
Everything's good. Now, before we get to the game tonight, we do have more pressing and important matters to get to. We just had the Sports Six-Pack, and somebody wondered whether, A, it was possible to be too handsome, and, B, who the most handsome person in sports is. So what do you think?
Holy cow. First of all, I don't think that there is such a thing as too handsome. I feel like if you're super handsome, that's probably a really nice thing for those people that have to deal with such a thing.
And you got a vote, by the way.
What's that?
You got a vote as the most handsome person in sports.
Well, my mom listens, and she's very nice. Who is the most handsome? I mean, Randy, I got a feeling you're probably going to hate it, but it's probably your boy Tom Terrific.
He got some votes.
Super-duper handsome.
How about Cam Newton? We didn't talk about him.
No.
He's good-looking.
Oh, you know, Cam's got some style, too.
Yeah, he does. Great smile.
All right. I don't know how I feel about this conversation, but okay. I'm digging it. I like it.
We're open-minded here.
Yeah, we're comfortable. Yeah.
Of course we are. Yeah. Look, the people have questions. That's the beauty of the Sports Six-Pack, as we all know. You can ask whatever the heck you want.
How about Mike Lowell on MLB Network?
I mean, I think that Mike is a great individual. I'm not sure that he would have got votes on this, but he did, huh?
No, Randy just told a story about what happened on MLB Network, which is hilarious.
No, it was actually on the Levitard show.
Oh, Levitard, okay.
They were going to interview Lowell. He was waiting online, and one of the people on Levitard show suggested that he was one of the most handsome people in baseball. And Mike Mussina's name came up as being handsome, and Mina Kimes said, oh, yeah, Mussina's way more handsome than Lowell. And Lowell's waiting on the line to be interviewed by them.
You got to know your situation. Know your spot, right?
Yep.
I love that so much. Yeah. Like, hey, I'm right here. I can hear you.
You jerk.
How about Dakota Hudson, A, getting through that first inning last night, and then B, getting out of the jam in the fifth? That was, all things being equal, a very impressive performance.
I was so impressed by Dakota Hudson last night. And, guys, there are a lot of things that you look back at that ball game and say you like, that you enjoyed seeing. Dakota, to me, he showed the poise of a veteran pitcher in that game. He faced the first three batters and gave up three runs. And then he bears down and goes 6 1/3 total. That's all he ends up giving up. And the sequence to Bell was amazing. I mean, got ahead of him 0-2, buried him with the slider. There was no messing around. It was just, here it comes. Then gets the double play after it. I mean, everything about that was so special. He could have got the doors blown off in that inning. Get bases loaded, nobody out. And I know Dan brought it up on the broadcast last night. He did that a couple of times in spring training. It was another one of those things that kind of put him over the edge. You know, when he's got the sinker working, how many ground balls he can get. I just loved how he was able to bear back down. He kept his team in it, because we hit on this yesterday, man. It was going to be really important for Dakota Hudson to give you innings. And then after three batters in the game, you're starting to think, oh, my gosh, who's going to be able to get extended? Who's going to give you all these innings? And it was him. He was awesome.
Can you really, from a young pitcher, guy who doesn't have a ton of experience, can you extrapolate from that? Like, if he's able to get himself out of trouble or settle down after a pretty rough first inning, which he threw a bunch of pitches, if he's capable of doing that once, is it just the assumption that that's who he is? I mean, he's the kind of guy that can do this regularly?
Well, it's been more than once, too, that we've seen him do it. And I do think that you can. I think that you can take a lot from that, because you'll see a lot of young guys just as soon as things start going bad, they try to do too much. The situation starts moving too fast, and it spins out of control. Dakota Hudson didn't let it happen like that. He got in trouble in the first inning. He bounced back. He got in trouble, bases loaded, nobody out, and he fought right through it. I think that there's a lot to be said for that, and especially with Dakota Hudson, the way that he throws, the sink that he has, and every pitcher, their mechanics are important. But when you're a sinker ball, you got to make sure you stay back. You got to make sure you keep your hand on top of the baseball. And when the game starts spinning a little bit too fast, you have a tendency to rush with your body, and then all of a sudden your arm has to catch up and you don't get that good sink anymore, and you don't put the ball where you want it. He didn't do that. He was in total control of himself out there. He executed pitches when he really had to, and I do believe that going forward, that's the type of stuff that you can expect. Certainly you don't want guys to get into jams, but inevitably it's going to happen. I know they love the way he handled that and the poise that he has.
BT, I want to get this out there. The Cubs lead the Giants 4-1 in the sixth. Chris Bryant struck out swinging in the top of the fifth and didn't come back out for the bottom of the fifth with knee soreness. So that could be a problem for the Cubbies.
Yeah, certainly could. He's starting to – well, we know how good Chris Bryant is. That would be a big-time loss if, in fact, they lost him for a little while. And, I mean, who would have thought that this was going to be as tight as it was coming into action today? Well, as we stand still, a half game out of first place. It looks like it might end up being a full game here in a minute. But that is a big game changer. And, look, you saw what happened when the Cardinals lost Marcell Ozuna. The offense was slow to get it going. Now, recently we've seen a little bit of an uptick. He was their, you know, the Cardinals' most consistent hitter. Bryan falls in that same exact category. So not that you ever want somebody to be hurt at all, but it wouldn't be a bad time for the Cardinals if, in fact, that were the case for Chris Bryant.
Meanwhile, you did mention Ozuna. We've seen Paul Goldschmidt contribute in a big way a couple of times here in the last couple of nights, which we've all talked about this for weeks now. None of this works without him being his old self. And so I guess you could say he's getting close to being that again, or certainly he looks like it. Can this team win if it's just him? If it's just him being his old self, but it's not Marcell Ozuna available and it's not Matt Carpenter doing what he typically does, can they still get there?
I think that there are very few players that can just lift everybody by themselves. Now, I do think that Paul Goldschmidt has the type of talent that if he goes, I think a lot of people follow suit, but I don't believe it can be a one-man show. He is the key to it, as you mentioned, but you got to get guys on so he can get them in. I do think that he's getting closer and closer to being right. We saw the grand slam the other night that he went the opposite field. Last night it was a fastball in that he was able to pull for a home run, a pitch that we've seen him fouling off recently. But I think it takes a lot more than one guy right now to get rolling. But if he gets going offensively and everything else stays the same, I think you still got to like your chances.
Brad Thompson is going to have the call with Dan McLaughlin tonight on FS Midwest Cards and Pirates. Dan, Adam Wainwright has been so much better at Busch Stadium than he has been on the road. A 2.33 ERA at home, 7.16 on the road. Is that just a coincidence, you think?
Well, we're far past small sample size with Adam Wainwright. It's been a lot of starts this year, but I went back earlier today and I was looking at his home road splits for the last handful of years. And a couple of those years, Adam has had injuries, so he missed a significant amount of time. But you have to go back to 2014, which was an all-star year for Adam Wainwright. He won 20 games. I mean, he was fantastic. You have to go all the way back to 2014 to find good splits on the road. He was actually better on the road in 2014, but every other year, and there were at least three of them that weren't injury riddled, his ERA on the road was almost 3 points higher each time. So when you look into this year's numbers, when I dig into it, a couple of things stand out, one of which is the walk rate is higher. So he's given out more free passes, and the strikeouts are lower. And it's not that he's not getting the two strikes, but he hasn't been able to finish off hitters. And, look, if I knew the answer, Adam would know the answer, and he would have rectified it by now. But it's going to have to be something that he's going to have to figure out because his splits are bad on the road. Michaelis' splits are bad on the road, who was unreal on the road last year. Flaherty's are as well. Like, this has been a big-time trend and a big-time problem for the Cardinals starting pitching. But one thing that would help Adam Wainwright coming into this one today is some run support. Get on him early. Adam's got the worst run support as far as starting pitching pitchers go in Major League Baseball. Give him a little bit of a cushion and let him work.
Speaking of pitching, we know the starting pitching and the lack of innings can affect the bullpen, and it had to an extent, but bullpen still giving some pretty good work. Andrew Miller last night closing out the game, getting the save. It was his third of the season. It was a perfect inning for him. Before that, it was Giovanni Gallegos who pitched an inning and two-thirds, and he was perfect in that with three punch-outs. And we've seen the struggles Carlos Martinez has had. Even though he's gotten the saves, he's still given up runs in a lot of those outings. As we go forward here in the next few weeks without Jordan Hicks, who becomes the closer for this team ultimately?
It's Carlos. I mean, it's Carlos and Mike Schill talked about this the other day. He's our guy. And he said, and we've talked about this a little bit yesterday, that, look, He's ran into some troubles, but ultimately he's got the 27th out. So he was, Mike Schill was pretty vocal about the fact that, look, Carlos is the guy right now. Now, we all know circumstances change. If Carlos runs into more struggles, if all of a sudden he's not getting that 27th out, if the opposition's coming back and he's blowing saves, well, then certainly you're not going to be loyal to a fault and you're going to have some other options. But Carlos is the guy. Now, it is nice for Mike Schilt, and this without making any trades and bringing else anybody else in, to have options. Certainly Andrew Miller's an option, although you'd rather see him, you know, be utilized in a position where you can leverage him against lefties. Gallegos would be in that conversation. John Gant would be in that conversation. There are plenty of options there, but Carlos is going to be the guy.
BT, at PNC Park, you didn't have a great record, 1-2 with a 6.75. But wasn't your offensive highlight, didn't that take place at PNC Park?
Oh, it sure did, Randy. It was. Well, I have two offensive highlights, really, from this place. The first one isn't the one you're referencing, but the first one is was in 2005, I believe it was. I was asked to come in to pinch run from the bullpen because they didn't want to get any of the actual talented players hurt that were in the starting rotation. So I had to come in from the bullpen, run in, find a helmet, and go out there and pinch run. So that was one of my offensive highlights. But the other one that I'm sure you're talking about is my stolen base record, where I am, 100%.
That's awesome, man.
Perfect. Never
caught. One for one, no big deal. No big deal.
Hey, Lou Brock, Vince Coleman, and Ricky Henderson can't say that they've
you
never been
right
thrown out.
It's all about picking your spots, guys, like with anything. Like, that was the spot right there where I knew I could go. And the other handful of times when I was on base, I figured, it wasn't my best chance. The numbers just didn't work out in my favor on those ones.
It's like when you race your buddy and you beat him that one time and you say never again. You never give him a chance to try and catch up with you. You know, your percentage is perfect. Go out on top.
Yeah, why go back to the well? And the thing in a situation like that is it pisses them off for a lifetime,
which
is always a great thing to be able to hold over somebody.
Hey, you look really handsome on TV. We like watching.
Well, look, top 10 handsome, top 5. Are we I don't know what we're doing here.
I don't know. Somebody texted in and said we shouldn't be talking about 12-year-old boys like that.
Whoa, that's not nice.
In reference to you.
That's not nice.
Yeah,
and very true, first of all, just in general, but I'm not 12. I'm still trying to grow out the mustache. It's going to happen. You guys know. I got the gray hair, though, at least.
Yeah, I got that going for you, which is nice.
You've got a little bit.
Nice.
You've got you have a couple.
I don't think I got full sides going right now.
Oh, stop it.
I have full sides.
I'm going to be just for Manning soon. It's kind
all right.
It's going down.
All right.
Hey, we'll be watching tonight, and we'll talk to you later. Have fun in that early morning game tomorrow, too.
Oh, it's going to be a blast, especially if they win. We'll have some more fun tomorrow.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. See you guys.
CBT, that is our friend, our partner, Brad Thompson, here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
I've got a couple.
I'm
going to have to start just from. You believe the nerve of that guy?
Unreal. You have a couple, right?
Yeah, I'm more than Silver Fox right now.
Okay.
I'm full sides. He's talking about full sides?
No, not quite.
He's out of his mind.
Hey, if you thought the Blues made an epic comeback on their way to winning the Stanley Cup, just wait until you hear our next story. We've got the details coming up before Teoli on 101 ESPN.